Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. We're going to do communion in a minute. We're going to do baptism and all those things. We're going to get it all done at the same time. Can I get a hallelujah? All right, here we go. Praise you, Jesus. Wow, I feel really good right now. Don't you feel good? Isn't it good that God is more than just a doctrine or a theology? It's the real presence of God. And I expect Him to touch me. I expect when I come like this in the corporate anointing, I expect to feel His presence, experience the goodness of God on my life. And I am experiencing God. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, that you are here. Our gathering was not unto a liturgy or a philosophy, but our gathering is unto you. And we thank you that you are here and you are big. Let your word, let your just an enrichment of your life and of the covenant we walk in be ministered to each and every one right now. Let your greatness be displayed. Let every heart be in awe of how wonderful and how good you are. In Jesus' name. Bless you, Lord. Sacraments. There's two living ordinances that we practice as a fellowship, two sacraments, two ordinances, and they are communion and water baptism, and we're going to participate in both of them today, so it's a good thing. Amen? So I'm excited about that. So a sacrament, here's what a sacrament is. It's from a Latin word, which means oath of allegiance. So it's a rite believed to be a means of a visible form of grace, a deposit by two parties seeking to secure justice. So that's what a sacrament means. That's where it comes from. So here's the deposit. God deposits grace. We deposit faith. And the covenant is sealed and is done and it is finished. So God is who He says He is. He'll do what He says He does. God has covered both sides of the obligation. Your only response in this whole thing to walk in the grace of God is, I believe. So God's part is a massive demonstration of His grace and His goodness. Our part is to say, I accept your goodness and your favor and the way you're disposed towards me. Can I get a big accept? Say, I accept, I receive in Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 from the ESV version. It says, now these things happened to them as an example, but they are written for our instruction on whom the end of the ages have come. So Paul is referring to the Old Testament. He's saying all of their history, all of their interactions, the way God moved with them, they're like a type and a shadow of what God does and how He wants to move in and with us. So we have to look at those things. The people of God in the Old Covenant were an example for us, so we can learn things. We can be instructed by things out of the Old Covenant. Now, at the beginning of that chapter, 1 Corinthians 10, 1 and 3, it says, for I do not want you to be unaware, brothers. I don't want you to be ignorant or unaware of our fathers who were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food. They all ate the same spiritual drink. So what Paul is doing in Corinth is he's teaching the Corinthian church that through Moses and through the experience with the people of God, a lot of what they went through are tied and shadows for us, and we can learn a lot from their experience. And so we're going to learn a lot from their experience today. Now, Egypt, not today, but then, Egypt was a type of being in bondage under Pharaoh and under his rule. It was a type of being in the world, subject to another nasty ruler in a place of pain and agony and misery. So being in Egypt was a place of being separated from the blessing of God, separated from His favor, separated from all of His promises. They were there in Egypt, and God wanted His people out. He said, I want these people. He literally sent Moses back. And the word that was used for I want my people out, he says, set my people free that they can come and party with me in the wilderness. He said, I want them to come a three-day journey. I don't want just, come on out about, a half day's walk, but I want them to come 3 days. I want them to be so far away from where they are. I want them to be separated from where they are. And I want them to come out and I want them to party with me. God loves a party.
And he wanted people that he could enjoy and fellowship with. And so God had to get his people out of Egypt. And Moses was God's man. He was the redeemer. He was the type of Christ who came. And he was the deliverer who was sent by God to get the people out of bondage. So he's the type of Jesus. Jesus left where he was. He came and he became God's demonstration. He became that God-man who was sent from heaven to set us free from the yoke and the bondage of sin, of Satan, of death and hell and all the nasty stuff. Jesus came to set God's people free. So that's all of this type, all of these things that are going on. So we see all of these pictures. So he comes and there's these tests, there's these 10 tests, and God's testing the heart of Pharaoh. First, he said, real simple, just let my people go. And he said, no. He said, no, 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 no. And it finally came down to the last plague, which is where we get Passover. And it seems like, wow, what a nasty thing. But see, God is going to make sure that his enemies release his people. So it seems like serious, serious stuff, but it's a massive picture of God is going to go to whatever length he must to make sure that you're free. But God sent a way that everybody could be free. He sent a message for everybody, even the Egyptians. Everybody could experience freedom. But the only way to be free from this last plague, this plague of death, the only way to be free from that was you had, he said, take a lamb, a one-year-old, pure, spotless lamb. Take that lamb and bring it in your house on day 10. Let it live with you for 4 days. And you got to live with that lamb for 4 days. And then that lamb that you had in the house, you're going, hey, little lambie, hey, on the 14th day, you're going to kill him. You're going to kill that lamb. And it said, take the blood, and not with a brush, but with hyssop, which is a bush. Like you're going to take a plant, like a bush. And why do you use a bush? Because when you try to dab something with a bush, it gets everywhere. And you know, God wants the blood to get everywhere. He said, I want you to cover the doorposts of your house. I want you to cover it. So put the blood on the doorposts. And then it says, the lamb, cook it thoroughly all the way through, and then eat the whole thing. The head, the tail, the feet. I mean, I want it all consumed. And if you're not into eating, you know, hooves and stuff like that, then it says burn the rest until it's all totally consumed by fire. And he says, so I want the blood on the post. And then he says, I want the lamb on the inside. So here was how people are going to get free. Here's how people are going to get out of torment and out of that place. Here it is. It's the lamb. You're going to take, by faith, you're going to say, I believe that word. I receive that word. I'm going to take the lamb on the inside, and I'm going to put the blood on the outside. And so that's what they did. So the Passover lamb, it was, and here's a type of the Passover lamb. The lamb on the inside, Colossians chapter 1, 26. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope of glory. So you got to take the lamb on the inside. You got to receive him on the inside, take him in. And then Revelation 1:5 says, to him who loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. In his own blood. You see, the only thing that can deal with sin in your life, the only thing that can deal with anything that's offensive to God in your life, the only thing is the blood. There's no other way. It's only the blood. You can't, through your own performance or anything else, make yourself acceptable to God. God himself said, I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to take care of all the mess. You don't even have to worry about it. Don't even think about it. Just do this. Don't think about how messy your life is. Think about how good God is. And focus on this. Just do what I said. Get the lamb on the inside and the blood on the outside. You see, the blood shed is not enough. The blood has to be applied. Jesus' blood is shed for all of sin. All the sin of the whole world, every single sin from every generation is already atoned for because of the blood of Jesus. But it's only atoned for in your life if you apply it. The blood only becomes effective if you apply it. So you have to apply the blood to your life. See, if they shed the blood of the lamb and ate the lamb but didn't put it on their doorposts, they wouldn't experience Passover. Passover meant the death angel is going to pass over. What is the death angel looking for? He's looking for righteous people. He's looking for really good people. He's looking, you know, to see if there's great people in that house. I'll pass over all the good folks. You could have been the worst sinner in the whole of Egypt, but if you had blood on the doorposts, you experienced Passover. Thank God that he made it that easy. And all of that, as we read earlier, Paul said all of those things are types and shadows. All of those things were for us. So Jesus, it pointed to Jesus, the spotless, pure lamb. He was given, and that lamb was completely consumed, and Jesus was completely consumed on the cross. All the sin of mankind, past, present, future, everything. The sin you're going to commit this afternoon is on the cross. On the cross. I'm not sinning this afternoon, Pastor. Well, you probably will. That's a good word, eh, Pastor? Thank you, Pastor. But here's the wonderful thing about it is that I don't have to, and I'm free from the power of it. And here's the beautiful thing. I got Christ in me, the grace of God in me, empowering me that it's not as often anymore that I screw up. But I see more things in my life that I didn't used to think were screw-ups that kind of are screw-ups. He's touching my ego. He's touching vanity. He's touching a lot of other areas in my life that I used to think were just cool. He's really working on me. He's really committed to bringing out the nature of Christ in me. But it's a good thing, and I'm okay with it. And it's not performance. It's the work of God himself in my life. It's not stuff I've figured out. It's stuff that I've just yielded to. And, hey, awesome. Thank you for that. And God will move you from glory to glory and good to good and wonderful to wonderful. But the truth is you can't actually get any better in his sight right now than you already are. But you can manifest it more and you can demonstrate it more. But you can't get any better than you are today. If you put the lamb inside and the blood applied to your life, then you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Pastor. That was some good stuff right there. So Luke 22, 19 to 20 says, and he took the bread and he gave thanks. He broke it, saying to them, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he said, likewise, he took the cup after, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant. Say new covenant. What does the new covenant mean? It means it's a new covenant. It's a new promise. It's a new oath. It's something new. It means that all the old is obsolete and done. So Jesus, all of that pointed to Jesus. And he came and he said, you know, all that stuff back there, it all pointed to right now. And he actually did this meal right on the day when they were celebrating Passover. And Jesus said, I'm going to demonstrate. And he died on the feast of Passover. All of that was fulfilled in Passover because Jesus is my Passover. He took the bread, he gave thanks, it's my body, do it and remember me. Likewise, he took the cup and he said, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. My body, my blood, my body, my blood, new covenant, which is shed for you. Covenant, what is a covenant? A solemn agreement between two parties for the purpose of creating and maintaining a successful relationship. And here's the thing, you don't take communion, you receive communion. See, if you're taking it, like, I'm going to take communion today. It's like you're doing some act that's going to, you know, some little goody two-shoes thing where, check, I took communion today. You don't take communion. You receive communion. It's not like some, you know, act that you did to somehow save yourself or redeem yourself. You never take communion. You receive communion. I receive fellowship with God. I receive oneness with God. I receive righteousness from God. I am an active, passionate receiver of everything good. Sounds strange, doesn't it? Because I am actively in a place of being passive. I am actively in the place. I am passionate about my rest. I am passionate about receiving. I am passionate that he's the cause of everything in my life. I'm passionate that I'm nothing without him. I'm passionate that it's all about him. I'm passionate that I receive every good promise and everything in his life. Amen. So today when you get that and you receive communion, when you take the body, I receive the covenant. When you take the cup, drink, say, I receive the covenant. Because it says some people don't know what they're doing. It says some people, it's not that they come and there's sin in their life. It's they come and they don't realize that you receive right now life. You receive every good thing. You receive the manifestation of the covenant. And people are sick and people sleep and people don't experience the benefit of the covenant because they come in an unworthy manner. They don't come unworthily, but they come in a manner that's unworthy. What's an unworthy manner? I have zero expectations of anything changing in my life. It's just this, I take it. It's just this, I take it. Whoopee-doo. That's an unworthy manner. But when you take it and you say, he is present here right now. He is present here right now. He is present here right now. He said, remember this. Remember that when you take that, when you're receiving my body, I am present to enforce my healing in your life today. I receive healing. I receive every blessing because of your body. And then when you drink the cup, this is a cup of blessing. I receive everything that is mine in this covenant relationship. We got to be passionate about communion. I got to move on because we got to baptize some people. So, hallelujah. We embrace restored benefits, health, and prosperity. You can, if you don't like those words, that's unfortunate. Let me change the words for you then. Grace and peace. If you don't like health and prosperity, let me give you some biblical words for any Pharisees that might be with us. Grace and peace. Because when you embrace grace, there's health. When you embrace peace, there's prosperity. Some people, their grace doesn't have health in it. Their peace doesn't have prosperity in it. Oh, I don't need that. It's not about what you need. It's not like a Ford. You can pick the options. You know, well, I don't need the air conditioning. I'm okay. You know, I don't mind suffering. I'll sweat for Jesus. Air conditioning is in the deal. When they were walking through the wilderness, it says they had a cloud over them by day and then the pillar of fire by night. They had central air. It was cooling. Walking in the desert, they had these cooling particles of cool liquid that wrapped them through the hot days. And then at night, they had a full-blown furnace. Whoa, hey, turn that down. It's a little warm in here. God's really, really good. You know what? Grace and peace, benefits. Look at this. Back to the whole picture of Israel. He brought them out with silver and gold. One translation says they were laden down with silver and gold. He brought them out. So if it's a type and a shadow, and he brought them out with all of the riches and the wealth of Egypt, how many believe he's going to bring you out into his covenant and he's going to weigh you down with blessing? I'm okay with that. It says the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. It's time to make a trade. It's time to say thank you. You see, why did they get it? For 400 years, they were building Egypt. For 400 years, they built everything. For 400 years, they made it a great, great nation. For 400 years, who built it? Who should enjoy the benefits of it? You know, they got complete repayment, complete restoration, and they walked out with all the blessings. But you know what? They had to go knock on their neighbor's door and go, I believe that God set us free, and he told me that now because you guys are staying here and you don't believe, I get to take all your stuff, so if you don't mind. They literally had to go knock at the doors of their neighbors. Can I have your wife's jewelry, take all her stuff? You don't want to do that to your neighbors, but you know what? But that's what God told them to do. Go take all the wealth of Egypt and take it with you. Awesome stuff. So they were weighed down. They were weighed down with silver and gold. What's that? It's the blessing of God. And then what else was there? There was none feeble among his tribes. Literally, that means there was nobody there who couldn't stand up and walk on their own strength. There wasn't a single one of 3 million people that weren't well fit to walk a 3J journey into the wilderness. What does that mean? Right that night when they took the Passover lamb, it was the biggest healing meeting that ever took place. That night, 3 million people were completely healed, completely delivered, and completely restored. Now, that would have been wonderful to be a part of it then, but that was an old covenant. We got a new covenant with better promises. So, I mean, the first Passover was just a shadow. I mean, you know, there's my shadow. My shadow's falling, but my shadow's not me. You could hug my shadow all you wanted, whoopee-doo. But if you really hug me, there's some substance there. You know what I mean? I mean, seriously, there's some substance. But you know what? The shadow had blessing. The shadow was amazing. If the shadow was amazing, how much more amazing isn't the reality of this new covenant that we're walking in? Somebody shout to Jesus just because you can, because he's so, so good. Amen. So, Lord's table, remember me. Not a call to commiserate his suffering, not a call to commiserate our sin, but a call to commemorate his triumph. It is finished. This isn't a sad table. This isn't a miserable place. I want you all to come right now, and I want you to remember how wretched you've been all week. And, God, he's still more or less for you, but you've been really bad. And I want you to think about that for a minute, you bunch of dogs. That's not what it's about. take a minute and get your head aligned with the fact that I've been a real dope, but he has covered it all. And then approach properly with a great attitude saying, hello, big fella. I'm here boldly to receive every good thing from you. Because you keep your word and your word is true. If you try to approach the table on your own performance, you won't get a thing. It's only one way. It's through Jesus and the finished work. Eucharist means gratitude and thanksgiving, gratitude and grace. Eucharist. It is finished. I receive everything. Hebrews 2:14, inasmuch as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. So did Jesus come? Did he identify with us? Did he take on a human body and a frame? Did he do all of that? Yes, he did. Did he die for you? Yes, he did. Then if he did all of that, what also did he do? He destroyed him who had the power over death, that is the devil. Did he destroy him? Yes. Did he destroy him? Yes. Yeah, but he's still around, Pastor. But he's powerless. He's completely toothless. The only thing he has left is a lie. And if you want to get into some weird, creepy, you know, spiritual gymnastics of trying to do something more than the cross, you're wasting your time because he destroyed him at the cross. All right. Thank you, Pastor. That's good. Let's go to baptism. You ready? Baptism, really fast. Praise Jesus. Baptism is not a ritual to be performed. It's a dynamic that must be present every day in a continuous reality in your life. Are you walking right now in the revelation that you're baptized? The reality of being baptized and the full revelation of that, is it active in your life right now? Are you walking every day? Are there things about you being baptized that give you strength to walk every day? You face situations and circumstances in life, and the fact that you are a baptized believer that jumps up in your spirit and you say, I am baptized. Does it? If it doesn't, did you really get the full revelation? Did you really get baptized, or did you just get wet? This baptism isn't just some little, just an outward sign of an inward work, glory to Jesus. It's way bigger than that. And if you don't know what it is, you can go on the website into our discipleship section. You can get a whole sermon on baptism that'll rock your world. I'll give you a little bit today, though. Baptism is so much more. Jesus, when he told his disciples and gave them a commission, he said, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Baptize them. Baptize the nations. Baptize the nations. Go baptize the nations. There's a powerful, powerful dynamic in baptism. Baptize. The word baptize is actually a Greek word. It's not an English word. It's a Greek word. And the translators didn't change it to an English word. They just left it as a Greek word. So we got this word baptize. But baptize means to immerse, to submerge, to bathe, to overwhelm, to pickle, to produce permanent change, not just getting wet. It's an identification and a union with Christ that results in genuine change. Getting saturated. Like if you put a piece of cucumber in some vinegar and you let it soak for a long, long time, you pull that out, you say, wow, that is a different product than went in. And you're getting pickled with the goodness of God. You're getting pickled with the revelation of Christ. You're getting saturated. Something is happening to your very nature. There's a transformation taking place in you. Well, isn't that all that Jesus said? Yes, it is. But baptism, there's a powerful principle that is realized and released. So let's go back to the picture. Let's go back to when the Apostle Paul was saying, what happened back there? It was types and shadows. We can learn things. We can be informed and we can be instructed. So let's get instructed by Moses. Let's get instructed by the people of God. Now, Passover was this table. Passover represented Jesus. Passover was them coming out with the blood of Jesus, coming out with the lamb on the inside. That was Passover. But then God on purpose took them on a little U-turn and he brought them right to the Red Sea. So they're out, but now they're wandering, and then he on purpose made it look like they were lost. They were like doop 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 doop, and then he said, Moses, hold on, turn around, take the people over here. But we're supposed to go there. Trust me, we're going to get there, but I want you to do this first. Oh, doop 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 doop. And then he's over here. We got a mountain range, we got the Red Sea. And then Moses is like, okay, so we're at the Red Sea. Why are we here? And then he turns to us and says, holy moly, it's Pharaoh. He thinks we're lost. I know, I did this just so he'd think you're lost. He's going to pursue you. He is pursuing us. We don't want to go back there. Oh, no, what are we going to do? And the people all start, oh, no, oh, we're going to die. And then God says, Moses, shut up. Turn around. Go forward. But I got a sea in front of me here, he says. going to take you through. That rod in your hand, the rod of God that I have given you, that you perform miracles with, that rod right now, strike the water. And literally the word says strike and keep striking. So some people go, whoosh, but it might look more like this. Split the whole thing. You had water, big wall of water on both sides. Mommy, look at the fishies. Holy cow. Dry ground. They're walking over on dry ground. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on the right hand and the left, and the Egyptians pursued them and went after them into the midst of the sea. All, say all.
All.
See, Pharaoh said, I'm so mad at those people. Look, they're confused. We can get them. We can bring them back. We can get all our stuff back and put them back in captivity. And that's what the devil wants to do. Once you decide you're going to follow Jesus, the devil just goes, oh, okay. He'll try to come after you. He'll try to take that seed. He'll try to rob you of the choices and decisions you made to pursue Jesus. He'll lie to you and try to put you in bondage again. But here's why the Red Sea took place. All of Pharaoh's horses and his chariots went after him. Every one of them, all his chariots and his horsemen. Say all. Exodus 14, verse 28. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots and the charioteers. I love this because it literally says when they were coming, it says the Lord unscrewed their chariot wheels. Their wheels started to fall off and they're trying to come through. Can you imagine that? I mean, I don't know how God did it, but all these chariots, all these enemies of your soul are trying to pursue you into your destiny. But God has come and he is afflicting them and he is removing them and they are not going to be able to go into your future with you. So here's what happens. All of the Egyptians who chased the Israelites into the sea, not a single one survived. That's a really great story, Pastor, but I got some devils after me. Not a single one survived. I know that was the type in the shadow. The type in the shadow, they were probably thrilled to see that all their enemies were destroyed. Because they could have gone through their life going, I know we're out of Egypt, but I wonder if Pharaoh will come looking for us. I wonder if he'll chase us. I wonder if we'll be somewhere just, and even when we get to the land, will he come and attack us? I wonder what Pharaoh's probably got plans to get us. I don't want you going into your future with a devil focus. I don't want you going into your future worried about Sleuthfoot and what he might do with your life. I want you to go into your future knowing that who the sun sets free is free indeed. So I know in the shadow, not a single one survived, but in the reality of my life, I'm getting attacked a lot. That would be your fault. That would be because you probably read a stupid book or went to a dumb conference where they told you that the devil can still attack you. And if you believe that, then guess what? You can have that. But if you believe the Bible, you can have the Word of God. He destroyed the devil. You are not. The kingdom of God is advancing. The church of God is advancing. And the gates of hell will not prevail against us. We're not wondering, is he coming for us? We're coming for him. He's been disarmed in every single way and in every place. And we have a responsibility to go everywhere in this world and dispossess anywhere where he's holding people captive. There are people in this city that need to be free. And we're sitting in little huddles going, what demon's after you? Oh, this demon's after me. Let's study the flight pattern of the devil. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor, you're getting a little careless there. I'm not, honest to God. I'm getting dead serious with you. This is way too serious to mess with that nonsense. Thank you, Pastor. I feel the breaks going on in some people's hearts. Not a single one. Not a single one. Well, that was a shadow. Okay, well, let's move into the New Covenant teachings of Paul. Colossians 2, 10, 12, 13 through there. You ready? So you who are complete through your hard works, good works, waking up early, and cursing the devil with tongues, you who are complete through all that stuff, you who are complete with your union with Christ. The word complete is plero, which means perfect. Missing nothing, totally fit for every situation. How do you get perfect, folks? Through your union with Christ. Perfect through my union with Christ, who is the head over what? Every ruler and every authority. I got to skip through. There's a little, you can read it all, but couldn't fit it on the screen. But for you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. You were buried with Christ when you were baptized. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. Were you baptized in water? Are you free? Is every enemy of your soul ripped out of your life? Will the devil still come back and lie to you and accuse you and do that? Yes, but you rise up and you say, I am a baptized believer. The baptism, I didn't just get wet. I'm walking in the principle right now that I am in union with Christ. I'm making a public declaration that there's only one authority in my life and no other authority over my life. There's only one, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no room even for me in that equation. God is Lord of all of it. And through baptism, I was united with Christ. And in this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authority. And then Miriam got out her tambourine and went, our God has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider are thrown into the sea. My God has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider are thrown into the sea. So when the devil tries to come after you, you just pick up your tambourine and say, the Lord, my God, my strength, my song, he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider are thrown into the sea. Hallelujah. Please settle down. We've got to move on. Please stop. Stop running around the building and getting excited. I have Jesus on the inside and his blood covers me. I've been baptized into Christ and I'm in a union with him. I'm free from bondage. I'm free from accusation. I'm free from oppression. Jesus caused an exodus and he's brought me and he's bringing you and he brought us into freedom. Do you believe this? I am the resurrection and the life. Martha, do you believe me? Oh, I know that someday in the future you're going to be awesome, but right now my brother's dead, been dead 4 days. Martha! Did I not say if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Oh, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Let's take communion, all right? Can we do that? We're going to hand out these emblems. We're going to do that. And then we're going to baptize, I think, about 5 or 6 people. So that's pretty good. So we got to get on the move now. Are you ready to get on the move? How many think that was all right? Aren't you glad that we've got these ordinances? They're living ordinances. These aren't little rituals we perform. You are receiving the very life of God. You are rededicating yourself. As other people go through these waters, you are rededicating yourself that I too am a baptized believer. These are living, powerful things that are alive and active in our lives. So this is the bread and the wine. This is the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. These are the emblems that we will receive. That today as you receive them, he is present as we do this. He will affectionately be remembered. And he will affectionately enforce every blessing in your life right now. All right, come on, stand up with me. I'm going to receive communion today. I'm going to receive all the benefits of my union with Christ. I'm going to receive healing in my body. I'm going to receive freedom in my soul. I'm going to receive rightness in my mind and every aspect of my life. I receive every benefit right now of the body of Christ. Let's eat together in Jesus' name. I receive the blood of Jesus. I receive this wine. It is a symbol of the new covenant. It's a symbol of the finished work of Christ. And I am blessed. And I thank you for the blood alone that has delivered me, set me free, cleansed all my sin, and given me access to your presence and your throne. I drink to the knowledge that you are my Father, and that nothing can separate me from you. I receive this union. I receive this communion. I receive this connection with you that you have won for me. I receive it and every benefit of it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's drink together. Turn to your neighbor and say, wow. Wow. Wow.